Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
All right, I'm pissed.
Wow.
It's still bothering me, but what a season. Welcome in. It's The Beat, 720 WGN, here till 5:30.
You're mad at the call still?
I mean, how do you miss a guy sticking his head through the rim? Not saying they would have won, but they might have.
Well, did you see it right away?
Nope.
Yes,
but I'm not a highly paid official referee.
And you're also not standing right there. You're watching on TV.
I mean,
all the angles.
You know who was farther away from the official sticking his hand through the rim when Derek Pardon was going to dunk and make it a three-point game and I was going bananas in Rokon's office?
Dave Ennett.
That would be one.
Joey Meyer.
That would be two.
Adam Phillips.
That would be three.
Chris Collins.
There we go. I mean, Chris Collins saw it. You're Adam Hoge. You're Jared Payton. I'm Mark Carmen. Welcome to The Beat. Hey, congratulations, though, to Northwestern, man. I mean, honestly, how can you not salute what the Wildcats did this year, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about this city just backing a team, and it was fun to watch. I was thinking about you and your safety, though, after the game, Carm. I checked your Twitter just to make sure you were good.
Well, you know, I was watching it in Roe's office because he's in Mexico and there's two TVs in there, and I hope he's okay with that. I left everything neat, because if I watch in the studio, I'm hearing Dave Ennett, which is the love of my life, and he's going to be on the show at 4:35, but it's not synced up with the TV, so I can't listen to Dave because he's telling me what's going to happen before it happens. So I got to go watch it in another room to watch it on TV. Now, Lise Graham, who was a producer here, was doing work outside the room, and what she heard coming out of my mouth yesterday was kind of embarrassing. But I have not...
She probably won't talk to you ever again.
I mean, I really... There was... There was a lot of profanity yesterday. I'm going to be honest.
It's March Madness.
I couldn't.
That's how it goes.
I was so into the game.
So let's talk about that play. Okay. Because here's what my reaction was right away. And I think this probably goes for a lot of people. I'm assuming, but you can tell me. So I didn't see his hand go through the rim right away.
I didn't either.
I thought Chris Collins wanted a foul and lost his mind over a non-call in that moment. And I just was like, no, you can't do that. That's a terrible technical foul. Like, oh, I'm just like, that was, oh. And then they showed the replay. Yes. And immediately I'm like, okay, I would be just as mad. I would be just that, because that's inexcusable. It's one thing to miss a foul. That happens on every play. But to miss a guy's hand go through the rim to block a shot, I would have done the exact same thing.
I don't care who you are. You're going to react the same way. It doesn't matter. Chris Collins, anybody else, that's your team. And you get to that moment, and living in those moments, those big-time moments of college sports, man, anything goes. And
after, now, it was still bad timing.
I was thinking the same thing as Hoge. I was going, come on, Chris. CC. Keep it under control, baby. But then next thing you know, once I saw the replay, I was like, okay, now I see why it's justified.
And at the end of the day, I mean, that's the beauty of Chris Collins. He is that intense. That is who he is. And he's not going to, quote unquote, keep it in control right there, because that's just, it would be so foreign. It would be like, you might as well be transported to Mars and bring somebody else back. He's not going to do that at that moment. It's no way. I don't know. When Chris Collins is 75 years old, he might be able to keep composed there, but I doubt it.
No. Any coach would have done the same thing. Like I said, it was bad timing, though, because the whole sequence, unfortunately, was... It killed the comeback, right? It killed the comeback, but it was understandable once you saw the replay and saw what they missed. This gets to a much bigger issue, and I think we're gonna dive into this more later on in the show, too, because I have some ideas that need to be implemented. But my one problem with the NCAA tournament, really the entire sport of college basketball, and I love college basketball. You guys know that. I watch it all year. I get so into the tournament. But no matter if I'm watching a Northwestern game, a Wisconsin game, or right now Kentucky's playing Wichita, or a couple hours ago Louisville was playing Michigan. Michigan won, by the way. Big Ten is back. I don't think they were ever gone.
I'm going to say something that I'll never say again, but I'm going to say it right now. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Go Blue.
That was great.
I'm proud of Michigan. I like that basketball team.
Dang,
I'm enjoying that team.
You just said that.
It was rough. It was really rough.
He wasn't talking about Duke Blue.
I understand.
Don't
that.
Get excited.
I totally understand that. What Michigan's doing, what Michigan is doing right now is pretty special.
I'd like to see Michigan continue to advance. I enjoy Derek Walton Jr. a lot.
He's a beast.
But the problem is the officiating is awful in every game. It's I don't care if we're talking about November and the Maui Invitational or the NCAA tournament. The officiating just isn't good enough for what is a good product. It's not the NBA. It'll never be the NBA. It's not supposed to be the NBA. But the gap between what I would say is, you know, the play on the court from the NBA to college basketball, the gap between the officiating is even wider.
I can agree with you on that.
I just hate the philosophy of how college basketball is refereed. Way, way, way too many whistles. The game is, they slow the game down so often that you're watching a free throw shooting contest and it becomes boring. That's a whole conversation for another time. But it just, listen, freedom of movement. That's cool, but, you know, guys do have to be able to put an arm bar on somebody. There has to be, and it's just so, you don't know what they're going to call. Sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't, and you just can't, and then the flow when they are calling is just completely gone away. And also, like, for me, it's like, hey, man, if the offensive player has the advantage, don't take away a layup for rewarding a defender who's behind, who just barely just touched somebody. Just let the layup go down and play continues and everybody's watching a basketball game and not you referee.
Can we just say not slow up the tempo either? When you have these young kids who like to get up and down the floor, I can't stand sitting there watching basketball that's so slow. And to me, that's what hurts the game. But what are you going to do, Hoag? What's the solution? I don't know what the solution is.
Hoag's got solutions.
You got solutions for me?
He's got solutions. I don't want him to burn it right now.
Don't burn it now.
I got at least one that I think will be controversial, but should be discussed.
Hey, Nathan Taphorn is going to join the show at 3:35. Hoag Solutions is going to be sometime during the show. We do have Dave Ennett, the voice of the Wildcats, coming up at 4:35. So,
and Illinois has a new head coach.
They do? Yes, they do. Brad Underwood, congratulations, Illinois. We're going to talk to your guy at 4:10, Adam Hoag.
Jeremy Werner from downstate, does radio in Champaign. So he'll give us a good sense of what the reaction is like down on the, what is that?
Whatever.
Down south.
I have a comment real quick. Can we make Hoag Solutions like an every Sunday topic?
Hoag Solutions.
Yeah. I love this.
Brought to you by Hoag Solutions. Available at 720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Sounds like some like important company that I should actually found.
I want to get rid of my cable. What should I do, Hoag?
Well, we went through all that last year, remember?
So
I don't think I came up. My solution after like 5 months was to go back to DirecTV and pay too much.
That
was my solution.
That was painful enough one time. We definitely don't need to relive the Hoag.
That was a classic.
The Hoag cable questions. All right. Hey, they want home ice advantage in the playoffs, which means every game counts. It's the Blackhawks and the Avalanche. It's tonight at 6 on WGN TV Sports. And, of course, our pregame right here, 5:30 on 720 WGN. John and Troy with the call at 6 o'clock. Hey, coming on back here, we're gonna get Nathan Taphorn on board at 3:35. Are you now a Northwestern fan? 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Northwestern's no longer in the NCAA tournament. I refuse to believe that is true, but that is indeed true. 312-981-7200. He's Adam Hoag. He's Jared Payton. I'm Mark Harmon. With you till 5:30 today. The Blackhawks and the Avalanche, who is not a very good hockey team, coming into the United Center tonight. So the Hawks should keep her rolling. Although if they were playing the best team in the NHL, who's not the Blackhawks, I feel like they'd still keep it rolling. Okay, here's a question for you. 312-981-7200. Have you become a Northwestern fan? I'm playing it forward to next season. They're going to be playing in Rosemont, Illinois at the Allstate Arena. That is a large, large facility. I'm already ready for next year.
They're going to be good next year.
And they're going to be really good.
Yes.
Am I going to be walking into a building that's got 4,000 people in it? Because if I really would, that would be disappointing. I don't think the kids that are seniors who have built this program deserve that at all, right?
No. Right. I think the attendance will build as the year goes on. I mean, I've already on record of saying that I think that this is actually, if you had to do this for 1 year, it's a good year to do it.
Yeah.
Because people are getting turned away at late in the season. There weren't seats. There weren't tickets available. Those games were sold out.
Okay? All true.
So I don't know what it's going to look like in November. There's probably going to be a little bit of an adjustment period. You got a lot of people from Evanston that just, you know, have a short trek over that are going to be having to adjust to that. It's a much longer drive. But as I've been saying, that Allstate Arena is also way more convenient to a very large portion of this area.
Yes.
Okay? It you can get there from like four different directions and a couple different highways. So I also think if they're good, new people are going to show up, new fans are going to show up as the season goes along. And I think by, you know, the middle of the Big Ten season when they're playing some good teams. By the way, the Big Ten's going to be looking real good next year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, Big Ten.
There's
going to
be some
right?
huge games, and I think – I don't know if it's going to sell out, but I think there's going to be a lot of people there.
I think that this everything's going to carry over until next season, and I think if you can start off – the crowd is going to be larger at the beginning. If this team next year can rack up some wins, I think, like Hoke said, it's going to keep adding on to the attendance. But for a guy who lives out that way – it's a lot easier for me to get to the Allstate Arena and to take my son and to see a four-year-old about to be five on Thursday get excited about Northwestern basketball now, asking me, can we go to games? So, yes, I think it's going to. You're going to have dads like myself and parents who are in that area close to Allstate that's going to be like, let's go. We got to make it a night.
The little man wants to go?
That's awesome. I'm just upset that this kid is growing up in the day and age in Chicago where there are some, like, really, really good teams. Like, he's, like, super excited. The Cubs, the Blackhawks, and now you have Northwestern who took over my house. It's we're wearing some purple, plus Badgers yesterday. I don't know if you saw my daughter. She was wearing Badgers gear. So that was for you, Hoke.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's
I didn't mean to throw that in there.
I like, think it might have been because of her mom, but true. I'll take it.
I'd like to throw in one other reason. I know that people are living their lives right now and not thinking about going to Northwestern basketball games next November, December, January. But there is one other reason to be excited for the adults out there. They do sell beer at the Allstate Arena. So
is that going to change or
no?
No,
that is not going to change.
It's not going to change.
That is not going to change. So you will be able to walk into a Wildcat basketball game, and you will be able to get your Miller Lite or whatever they have for $8, $9 and live that dream. Which, by the way, and I've had this conversation with people at Northwestern. I've been a huge proponent and still am. Bring the alcohol to Ryan Field for football, and you will go from 40,000 to sold out all the time. But they don't want it. They're not going to do it. But there will be beer at Hoops next year.
Well, 312-981-7200. Karn brought up a question that I'm curious too. I mean, is there anyone out there right now listening? Call us up and say if you feel this way about this team, that you were captured by Northwestern this year.
I mean, it's
and are looking forward to next year, and are you thinking, yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go check out a game at Allstate Arena. If you're that person, I want to hear from you right now.
312-981-7200. I can feel it. I can feel some Wildcat passion here. Nathan Taphorn, by the way, coming up at 3:35.
I just can't wait till Welsh Ryan is finished.
Right.
That's going to be
right
top of the line right there. When you right. have that, I mean, this is a – Hogue, I don't agree with you that often. This is the perfect year for all this stuff to be going down. If you're going into the tournament for the first time in school history and then playing at Allstate, it gives you the ability to really build some buzz and for a team that's going to be really, really good next year.
See, that's – I mean, it's the Purdue game, the last game of the last home game of the year, was such an amazing environment.
Yes,
and it's like we just saw what it could be, like really could be.
But it will be that.
It will be, man.
You just gotta wait a year.
Okay, but there's the reason why that place was bananas.
And what if they do sell out like a game against Wisconsin next year? That. I mean, do you remember the Elite Eight game between Arizona and Illinois?
Yeah.
That place was lit up.
It was.
It was incredible. So you can, if we're talking like, let me ask you this. If that same game against Purdue got played at Allstate Arena that same day a couple weeks ago.
How many people are in the building?
How many people are in the building?
So mad.
I don't know if they sell it out. I really don't. I think there's 13, 14.
But you keep building. Fast forward a year from now as this keeps the train keeps building momentum.
I mean, maybe they'll do it. I listen, every time I walk into Welsh Ryan, I'm like, please fill, give me the sellout. And then they've been getting them.
They were doing it, and there weren't, and it was mostly purple.
I hate to digress, but I wish you wouldn't have said up after lit.
You just wanted me to say lit?
Yeah, kept it at lit. You would have.
Is that cooler?
Yeah, it just, I never thought I would hear Hogue say lit by itself.
Right, well, I didn't. That's why I added up.
Up, I saw.
So, hold on. That's a little bit of a lesson for all of us who are trying to up our cool. When you say, you don't go lit up, you just go lit.
It was just lit.
It was lit.
And it's not woke up, it's just woke.
Yeah, you got to stay woke. I don't use that, though.
Why not?
Just because I got little kids. I can't have them talking like that.
I thought that woke just means you're aware, you're in the moment. Is that not what it is?
Yes, it is.
What's wrong with being woke?
Because, man, we're trying to teach this new generation new things. Stop living in hashtags all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Hashtag over here. What are you talking about?
Exactly. I know.
But you already got your You're like the Twitter definition.
I'm such a hypocrite.
Yeah. Your kids both have Twitter.
I'm going to go. Can we have a break anytime soon?
Yeah, we can right now. 312-981-7200.
You got a one-year-old with a Twitter account.
That's an aggressive play. All right, so Nathan Taphorn of your Northwestern Wildcats, senior, graduating, has played his last game, but what an impressive performance yesterday, banging down two threes in the second half when the Cats absolutely had to have him. He's with us next, 720 WGN.
Law in to McIntosh, to Taphorn. He'll try a three. Got it! Nathan Taphorn, the lead is down to 11 with 9:22 to go. 58-47. And then Taphorn for a straight on three. Got it! Nathan Taphorn gets the Cats within nine. They've cut half of that halftime lead away. 59-58 and a half remaining.
Those threes from Nathan Taphorn in the second half of that game were so cold-blooded. Like, you know how sometimes shots are just, you can see the confidence as the guy's taking it.
Yes, sir.
And you know it's going in. Yes. I mean, those were taken like they were NBA threes. Like catch, shoot, plenty of range. That second one, or was it the first one? One of those two was definitely from NBA range.
First one?
I think they both were. I mean, one of them was he stepped way out. He flared out on the screen. Nice pass by Brian McIntosh. Deep left wing. Bang. And then out front, that was a 3-2. I mean, they were 1-for-11 from the three-point line in the first half. And then they went 7-for-13 in the second half. By the way, Nathan Taphorn's going to join us in a second here. While we have a second, can I just play my favorite moment of the game? I haven't heard the call yet. Please just go ahead, Dan Long. Please make me feel good.
After the outlet from McIntosh. Off a pardon screen, McIntosh. He'll try a three off the front of the rim. Ooh. The tip dunk by Nick Law. 63-58. Timeout. Gonzaga. 5-point game.
I love you, Dave Ennett. That was such a great moment.
Right before the T?
Yep. It would have been 63-60.
Ooh. I mean, they had everything going their way, man.
Momentum was going.
That dunk was huge. That Vic Law dunk was, that's the highlight you just heard, the tip dunk.
I mean, talk about being woke. Flying in from the right wing.
That's it right there.
And the building was lit.
It was lit.
I mean, little three ball off the rim and out of nowhere, here comes Follow the Law. I love Follow the Law. It's Follow the Law with the injury last year, so he's not going to be graduating with the three that are going to leave next year in McIntosh and Skelly and Scotty Lindsey, which is a little bit awkward, but anyway. That moment, I lost it. That was so great. Timeout. I mean, the place is going bananas. Did you see the video, by the way, of them getting off the team bus, going into their hotel after beating Vanderbilt?
Oh yeah, when all the fans were lined up outside.
It was like
very cool.
It was like they were the Bulls in the 90s. It was unbelievable. It was really cool.
That's really cool to be a part. When Wisconsin beat Kentucky in the Final Four a couple years ago. The entire hotel lobby was filled. Same deal. And those guys came in on second level, like overlooking, and it was like they were rock stars. Same thing the other day with Northwestern. Just them walking through that line of people. They deserved it, man. They deserved it.
Let me tell you, it's the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, here it comes. JP felt it.
You've
done it.
I've done it. And to have your fans there at the hotel before you're leaving to go to the game and coming back for the game. It's a feeling, man. The fans and just watching and Carm, how dedicated you are, man. I wish you were there. Like, don't you wish you were there to be like, what? like, what's up? And just saying hello to your favorite guys and just congratulations. It's the best feeling in the world.
So the you had that?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Even now, they even do it now. They do the you walk where these guys, when they walk into the game now, it wasn't really like that. Now it's they walk in and fans are there. It's special.
Let's bring in Nathan Taphorn, who was enormous yesterday and phenomenal all season long with, of course, the biggest moment of the year when the bomb to Derek Pardon, which basically secured Northwestern into the tournament. Nate, thanks for taking time on a Sunday afternoon. I know that it hurts to be out, but we just wanted to congratulate you on everything you did and the comeback yesterday. And it was just a phenomenal ride, man. I know it's got to not feel great right now, but I hope you're able to at least celebrate it a little bit right now.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me on. And thank you for all the support we've gotten over the year. And it stings being out and watching the games today and everything like that. But, you know, it was a good season. It's tough to look at it from that way. And just, thank you for all the support.
Nathan, we were just discussing the scene after you guys beat Vanderbilt and got back to the hotel and all the fans that were lined up. I think Carm just compared you guys to the Jordan Bulls with that scene outside of that hotel. But just you were there. You were part of it. What did that feel like getting that kind of support from everyone dressed in purple that far away from Evanston?
You know, that we had a great following in Salt Lake City. And I know Dr. Jim Phillips flew out a lot of the staff on a charter that Thursday. But, you know, it's incredible to see that many people wanted to come support us for that weekend and that day. And it was just incredible because just to see everybody's family there, everybody's friends, and just to see some alumni that really, really wanted to support us in a great year. And it was just incredible.
I keep looking at some of these pictures and the videos of that first win versus Vandy. And I just want to know what it's like to everybody have that water ready just to be throwing it up in the air. I mean, those are the moments I think that you're always going to remember for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Those are the best celebrations that, and like you said, that I'll always remember. It's tough to see that it's over, but you know, when you have a big win like that and you have a great season like that, you have a lot of those moments and you're always going to cherish those.
So let's talk about the Pardon dunk that was blocked, that was goaltending, that wasn't called, Nate. From your vantage point at the time, did you know that Collins had stuck his hand through the rim?
I didn't know at the time. I just saw Derek went up to dunk it. And, I don't like to comment on the refs a lot, but apparently that was a pretty controversial call. I mean, coach had the right to kind of go crazy on that one. It was pretty clear as to what afterwards. I mean, looking at it afterwards and seeing all the pictures on Twitter and people are sending me stuff. But you know, it's tough. It's a tough call. I mean, but no, it is what it is.
Yeah, and Nathan, aside from just the call being made, take us through just playing through that sequence, because I think the Vic Law dunk was right before that. It seemed like the entire building had kind of turned in your favor. Everything's going your way, and that would have made it a 3-point game. Instead, they get the free throws, and it's 7. And that was with about 5 minutes left. Still plenty of time, but it just seemed to just put a big stop sign in what was an incredible comeback. So what was that like trying to battle through that, and did you kind of feel that same momentum shift in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, Vic's dunk was really, really pivotal in the energy in the gym. I mean, you don't usually have the whole arena besides the Gonzaga fans on your side. So, I mean, not just like we had the purple guys on our backs, but we had, like, everybody in the arena with us. And I kind of looked up and as the timeout and saw, like, everybody kind of cheering for us. And I was like, wow, we got a movement here. So that was pretty awesome to see that. But after that Vic Law dunk, it erupted. And to see that kind of momentum get in our favor was awesome. But that turn of events, it was kind of tough because Coach kind of went crazy, and he had the right to. But that technical call was really, really questionable. and that kind of changed everything. Like you said, if we would have got that dunk, maybe an and one, at least three down three with the ball or with a free throw coming up, maybe, and four thirty left, something like that.
Yeah.
That was a pivotal point in the game.
So talk about what was going on in the locker room at halftime. You guys are down 18. You're 1-for-11 from three. You're playing a Gonzaga team that I'm watching the game yesterday, Nate. I'm looking at these guys. I'm thinking, could you beat the Bulls? Because they were playing phenomenal basketball in the first half. And then, you know, you made a little bit of a run to start the second half, and then you got back down 22, and then you did it again. But go back to halftime as to what was going on in the locker room.
You know, we're a team that never really wanted to quit. We're never going to go away. So in the locker room, we kind of banded together. We kind of got everything out of our system and talked everything out in a good way. And there was no yelling. There was no screaming. It was any frustration. It was all, hey, we can do this. It was just a matter of, we just got to take the right shots, do the right thing on defense and the right things on offense to play together and get back in this game. But like you said, we came out in the second half, and the first minutes were kind of tough, but we always stuck with it. So, but no, during that halftime speech, we kind of, before the coach came out of the locker room, we all banded together and said, hey, we're not going down without a fight. So that's just kind of in the motto this year of we're not going away from anything. That second half, we really played well.
It's amazing to watch what you guys were able to accomplish and to be on that ride with you guys. And now, you know, looking back on a lot of the tweets and that hashtag pound the rock is something I think that a lot of people, not just basketball fans, but people in general, they can kind of get behind it and use in their everyday life. How are you going to take that with you as you walk away from playing basketball at Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, just before I answer that, there was a story about a guy that follows our program, and I don't remember his name. Sorry about that. But no, there's a guy that had cancer, and he reached out to Coach, and he follows our program very, very closely, and he comes to every game. And Coach kind of wrote him a letter. I saw it on Twitter. And he said, there's a motto on our team. It's pound the rock, and which just means – no matter what you're doing, you always pound that rock every day, and you kind of go after it. It's not going to take one or two hits, but you know it might take 100. But when it hits, it's going to be great. And when it breaks, but you know, basketball has taught me a lot of stuff, and you know, the pounding the rock thing is just—it's just another thing I've learned through basketball. You don't always get what you want, but if you keep working at it, and everything is going to fall in your favor. And once you break that rock, you know, it's one of the greatest feelings of all time.
Well, that certainly puts things into perspective. Nathan Taphorn on with us right now on The Beat. Nathan, you're always going to go down as one of these guys that took the leap of faith and took a chance and helped build this and get the Cats over that hump and into the NCAA tournament. So as you, you know, leave the program, just in terms of being on the court, you're certainly always going to be a part of this program going forward. What's the how good can this team be going forward? Because certainly just looking at a piece of paper right now, a lot of talent coming back next year, and they look like they're just going to be keep going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's only going up from here. You know, I think Coach said it after our Selection Sunday show. It's not the end of this whole journey, it's the beginning. And, we know it was Vic and Scotty, BMAC, Derek, you know, Uprising, Barrett and Isaiah, and all those guys that are really, really working. And, you know, you don't forget about Aaron and Rapp that have been out the whole year. So, you know, you put a team together like that, and you got guys that believe in what they're doing. It's something special again. And, this year was great. You had a team that really, really wanted to do something special, but you have a team next year that, you know, there's a lot of talent coming back, and there's really no limit as to see what this team can do.
So let's go back real quick to last Sunday. You were on with us, I think, around 3:15 with Charlie Hall, and then after that was the show. and everyone's seen the videos, but when you guys saw your name pop up on the screen, y'all went nuts. It was just like, well, did you realize that, hey, when this happens, I'm going to feel like this? Because it almost felt like you couldn't ever predict how you were going to feel in that moment.
No, I'm smiling just thinking about it. It was a feeling that I don't know if I'll ever feel again. I mean, you kind of anticipated it and you wanted it to happen and you know it's going to happen, but you didn't know when, you didn't know where, you didn't know how. But it was a feeling that I will never get again. And it was almost like surprising to see it out there, but not really surprising. You can't really describe it. And I don't remember what I did. I think I kind of blacked out for whatever, 15, 30 seconds, whatever it was. It was just, you know, it was just utmost excitement for whatever it was, for like seeing our name up there and seeing purple and seeing Northwestern. But, you know, you guys were there, having that many people at that gathering was incredible. But, you know, you, like I said, that feeling is indescribable.
It was awesome. It was super, super cool. And by the way, I think you just looked around super happy. I've watched the video about 1,000 times. You got B-Max reaction over here. You got Tap doing this. You got Parter going nuts. Most of you guys were filming it. You can watch that for the rest of a lifetime. Go ahead, Hoagie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for sure.
Nathan, what's next for you, man? What are you doing? You went to Northwestern. You can do whatever you want now.
Yeah, no. People ask me, and I always tell them I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. So, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, if I can play, I'll try to play somewhere. But I've got an internship with Kemper Lesnick lined up in the spring here. I'm going to take one more class to kind of finish off my degree, and then kind of open up to see what's going on. I mean, I went to Northwestern, like you said, one of the greatest schools in the country, and luckily to have so many connections that coming out of this great school. So we'll see what I can do, and
And let me give you a little bit of advice here.
Don't take any advice from him.
No, whatever he says, ignore it.
Kemper Lesnick.
You know, I'm open to any advice you got.
I don't know who Kemper Lesnick is. I don't know what they do, and I'm sure they're a phenomenal company. But, you know, as a young man coming out of Northwestern, there's going to be a million Kemper Lesnicks for you. So if you need to go to the far outreaches of Australia to keep playing hoop, I mean, if I'm you, I play as long as I can play, and then you can come back and do all the Kemper Lesnicks that you want. That's just my own personal advice. But, you know, if it's a great gig and I'm going to pay you a bunch of dough, then I would understand.
Nathan, don't listen to him, man.
No, don't you think that's good advice? This dude's been nailing two huge threes.
I'm not saying that he can't play, but the dude, just listen to him. He sounds like money. That's my guy, man. Get the paper on, man. Listen, congratulations on everything, man. I know what you're going through at this moment. I've been lost a national championship, and that feeling that you have of just replaying it over and over in your head, and that was in 2002. I still think about it to this day. So I totally get what you're going through right now.
Nate, I'm seeing you put the ball on the deck, do step backs on the right baseline. I'm seeing you hit deep threes. I think somebody wants your services. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
No, I appreciate that. I'm sure I'll get more of that stuff. But I'll definitely look at very carefully what I can do and see where it'll take me.
Well, congrats again on the season, and you got the whole city behind you, man. It was a ton of fun, and you perform phenomenally, and this era Northwestern basketball, whatever's coming is going to be great, but this will never be forgotten. So, and you were right in the middle of it. So congrats, Nate.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate you guys' your support all year, and you know, hope for all the best for you guys as well.
Thanks, man. We appreciate
you. Thanks, Nate.
Hopefully you'll employ us someday. Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, guys.
Nathan Taphorn of your Northwestern Wildcats, who will be graduating and making more money for me than me in 5 seconds.
Now, were you kidding around that you don't know what Kemper Lesnick is?
No,
you really don't.
Yeah, I don't know what Kemper Lesnick is. What's Kemper Lesnick?
Then I double down on my advice to him, which is that he should not follow your advice.
Kemper Lesnick? I mean,
it's a sports marketing agency.
Okay. I mean, they, you know, do they know who At the Carm is? That's what I want to know.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, who's on who here? I should be hearing from Kemper Lesnick is what should
they
be going
on. They only pay attention to people with more than 9,000 Twitter followers.
I don't know why you would be sleeping on At the Carm on Twitter. I just don't see that at all. It's a bad move by Kemper Lesnick. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Temper Lesnick. We are a creative agency that helps clients build deeper connections with customers to move their business forward. I like that. I like deeper connections. I like to connect deeply with the two of you right now.
That sounds weird.
JP, you're into a connection of a deepness, aren't you?
Yeah, it's still a little weird, though. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Well, what better time to connect deeply than Sunday afternoon? We only have like 30 seconds till we have to go back to break and get ready for news. So
how deep are we going to get here?
Probably not that deep.
30 seconds.
Listen, before you get deep, I need to know, like, listen, before you, on Kemper Lesnick, I mean, go to Australia and play some basketball.
Right? Or
22.
Listen, Australia, Italy,
where
Spain.
Where would you want a ball?
If it was me?
If it wasn't Spain. In the NBA.
I'd go to Spain.
Spain.
100%.
I love Spain.
I'd go to Australia. Listen, I'd go anywhere.
So mad when they got rid of Barcelona, the team over in NFL Europe the year before. Would have been lovely being on the beach.
But I'd legit go anywhere. If you told me right now that I could go to Iceland and be the eighth guy off the bench, I probably would give up everything that I'm doing just to do that right now.
Iceland?
I'd go.
You wouldn't do that.
I might do that. I'm telling you right now, I might do that. I love my gig. I would just hold vision that
the only
Todd
sports
Manley
team,
would hold my spot until I got back.
The only sports team from Iceland I know is the one in the Mighty Ducks.
It's good.
D2.
That's a good squad.
There's this dude that I
was a good squad.
There's a dude that I hoop with at the gym. He was going to Iceland. I told him I was so jealous.
Wear a coat.
Hey, with the situation right now, everything's melting anyway. It's probably going to be a beach town in Iceland any moment now.
I shouldn't laugh.
I'm
it's
not laughing.
It's kind of true.
Brad Underwood is your new head coach of the Illinois. Who's coming on at 410, Adam Hoge?
Jeremy Werner.
Jeremy Werner's coming on right after this on 720 WGN.
The Beat. Illini fans, this is Brad Underwood, your new head basketball coach. Couldn't be happier to be standing here in the State Farm Center today. Looking forward to a great, great future of Illini basketball. Your support is very much needed. We're going to do this together. We will win.
Did he just stutter in his message to Illinois fans? Where is the commitment to getting a statement correct there, Brad Underwood? I'm already down on Underwood.
Slow
At least
down.
It wasn't the Lane Kiffin video. Did you see that one? It's like half asleep.
Oh, you're talking about it? Yeah, down in Florida.
Yeah, FAU.
Yeah, he was right. He was dead.
Yeah,
that was not.
So lost in all the Northwestern excitement is that Illinois pulled off a stunning hire yesterday, bringing Brad Underwood over from Oklahoma State. Only spent 1 year there.
Wait, hold on a second. Let's hear it again.
Couldn't be happier to be standing here in the State Farm Center today.
Okay, that's a little bit. I know it's been harsh. It's a little harsh.
I didn't even notice it at
first. You're nitpicking there. Come on, man. Wow. Come on. It's a big moment.
We got to isolate a little bit more to slow it down.
You just like couldn't wait to get after the new Illinois coach is what happened there.
Go Cats.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy Werner writes for Illini Inquirer.com, speaking of stuttering, is the co-host of the Tay and Jay show on ESPN Radio 93.5 down in Champaign. Jeremy, what's going on? Give us some insight on what happened here yesterday and what the vibe is like down in Champaign, because I feel like a lot of Illinois fans probably didn't even know who Brad Underwood was 24 hours ago.
I think a lot of Illinois fans, when they, you know, I started to hear it early in the day that he could have been the guy, and I heard it the night before, and I thought, man, I don't see it. And we hadn't heard a lot of buzz about it, and I'm sure Illinois fans, when they saw it, were probably like, wait, what? And it was probably a bad reaction at first, like, wait, who is this guy? But once you start to do your research on Brad Underwood, what he did at Stephen F. Austin, what he did in the turnaround season at Oklahoma State, you know, turning Juwan Evans into a really no-doubt first-round pick if he wants to come out, I think you start to see that this is a heck of a coach with a fun identity of offense where it's pace and space. This is a good hire, and I think, you know, across the industry, everyone I've talked to says this is a good fit. Now, maybe it's not the brand name Tony Bennett, Archie Miller, Greg Marshall, but throughout the coaching industry, people think this guy is one of the best coaches, gets the most out of his teams, is going to get them back to tournaments when John Gross had really no identity, his teams underachieved all the time, and the style of play just didn't interest fans whatsoever. So the big question with Brad Underwood is recruiting. He doesn't have a lot of experience as a head coach recruiting at this level with a city like Chicago, but Illinois got a good coach, and they took advantage of an athletic department that didn't know what they had, didn't appreciate Brad Underwood with a low ball contract last year out of Stephen F. Austin. So Josh Whitman went in and stole somebody. So, you know, Illinois hasn't had a lot of, you know, stolen a lot of Power Five coaches from anybody. Lon Kruger really was the only other one. So, you know, Josh Whitman kind of treated this like a big time AD would. And that's the important thing here is he went from Tim Beckman, Bill Cubitt, and John Gross as his coaches to Lovie Smith and Brad Underwood, two guys that have a lot of respect in their industries.
Yes, hashtag we will win. I mean, that's the picture that I was seeing yesterday. It's crazy, though, Jeremy. I have to go back to what you were talking about with recruiting. And we talk about Chicago being that hotbed of a lot of talent. And for years, there hasn't been a coach that's been able to really gravitate and get kids from here in Chicago. Do you think Underwood's going to be able to come to the city and actually get kids to go to Champaign? Because with all the talent here, if you can do that and recruit your own state and have a hotbed like Chicago, that helps out a lot.
Yeah, it's the big question. I think it comes down to who he hires on his staff, you know, who the assistant coaches are. You know, Jamal Walker, who's the interim coach right now, a lot of people think he'll stay, but he's more tied in downstate and in the St. Louis area. He's got to get a Chicago guy or two on that staff. And the more important thing is he's got to have a presence up there. And Robert Smith out of Simeon, who's been very friendly with the Illinois program, said this the best. You know, Illinois has gotten pushed around up there a little bit by some of the coaches. So I don't think Illinois is going to go in there and own it. But you got to recruit the kids you want. You got to have relationships there. But you also can't just give in to everything that goes on up in the Chicago area. You know, like Illinois has kind of just been pushed around. And they don't – Bruce Weber was up there a lot, but he just didn't gravitate, didn't have that presence around people. John Gross was up – he had kind of a good personality with people up there, but wasn't up there quite enough. And people didn't see him enough. They only saw Paris Parham, his assistant. The last guy who really was able to get a few kids out of there was Bill Self. He got Luther Head. He got D Brown, and he didn't mess around a lot with people. He told them what he thought. You know, he didn't deal with a lot of, you know, some of the stuff that goes on up there. So I think it's important to have a strong personality, I guess is what I'm getting to, and recruit the kids you want. Recruit to your system. Bruce Weber kind of recruited kids in Chicago that people told him he needed to recruit, the highly ranked kids. You know, Bill Self went up there and got kids he wanted. I think that's really important. But it is important. I mean, it's a huge resource up there. Are you going to get every Jaleel Okafor and Jabari Parker out of there? Probably not. But you should get some of those top 50 kids, top 75 kids who come out of there every once in a while. So you got, you know, that's a big resource. You're never going to own it, but the state school needs to get players out of there. But you also shouldn't, you know, give in to everything up there and take kids just because people want you to. You should get kids you want in your program. And I think John Gross and Bruce Weber really screwed up on that side of things.
You want to follow Jeremy Werner on Twitter, at JWernerScout, IlliniInquirer.com to read his stuff. He also does the Tay and Jay Show, ESPN Radio 93.5 down in Champaign. So, hey, listen, if Brad Underwood had called you up, Jeremy, be like, is Illinois a better job than Oklahoma State? I mean, what would you have said? Because these guys are in the tournament now. They were in the tournament in 15, 14, 13. They were in the Final Four in 2004. I mean, it's not like he's leaving some terrible program to come to Illinois. I get the money part, but just take that out of it for a second. Is Illinois a better program in your mind?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Illinois has been a below average Big Ten program the last 10 years, but we know it should be better. You know, the ADs, they hired Bruce Weber because he was the girl next door that would never leave him, right, until you fired him. They hired John Gross because Mike Thomas couldn't find anybody better, and no one really liked to work for him. So they needed a guy who could come in here and hire somebody that's a good coach that other schools wanted, and Brad Underwood is that. Now, is he going to be Lon Kruger? I think he can be. Is he going to be Bill Self? I don't know. Bill Self is a pretty dang good coach and maybe the best one Illinois has ever hired. So I think Illinois should be a top half of the Big Ten program. I think there's no reason. You know, people want to rank these all the time, whether it's a top 25 job or top 15 job. Illinois should make NCAA tournaments near every year. They should compete for Big Ten titles every couple years. You know, I'm talking about top four in the Big Ten in a 14-team conference. I mean, you said it. I mean, Chicago's up there. You got a great resource there. Downstate, Peoria, you know, Edwardsville and East St. Louis produce talent. The city of St. Louis produces talent. This is a historic program that's made won Big Ten titles. They won 5 of 8 Big Ten titles just, 15 years ago. So this is, they have as many resources as anybody. Now they finally have the leadership with Josh Whitman. The State Farm Center just got renovated, so they're caught up a little bit there in facilities-wise. Plus, you have a rabid fan base and donors who donate a lot to this program, and they will even more so when they win. I mean, you go back to 2005, there were 20,000 people at the Final Four practice. I mean, you just don't find that everywhere. So this is a good job. It's a challenging job, but I do think it's better than Oklahoma State.
All right, Jeremy, let me bring up two concerns. We'll address them one by one here. The first one is, okay, I love what I see offensively. I took a team at 12 wins to 20, made the NCAA tournament, and took Stephen F. Austin to the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row. That's 4 years in a row he's been in the NCAA tournament, 4 years that Illinois wasn't. So you got to like that, right? Mm-hmm. But offensively, talking about the number one offensive efficiency in the entire country this year, that's very impressive. However, the defense, and I watched that game against Michigan the other day, not going to claim that I saw Oklahoma State play a lot this year, but you just look at the numbers, the defense, not really there. Is that a theme under Brad Underwood in his career, or is this just kind of a one-year thing where he didn't have great defense on a team? Because, look, this is the Big Ten, and you win the Big Ten with defense. And love the idea of the flying Illini going up and down the court, scoring all these points, but I don't know that you're going to win the conference if you're not playing defense.
I agree with that for the most part, but Michigan just did win the Big Ten tournament, and they were one of the worst, you know, defensive teams. Now, they weren't. They were, 8th, 9th in the Big Ten this year. That is a concern. His offense is legit. There's going to be constant movement, which Illini fans will be happy to see. His teams are, you know, a well-oiled machine on that side of the floor. He won't have an All-American point guard next year. He won't have Juwan Evans on his team, so it might make an adjustment. But his Stephen F. Austin teams actually were known for their defense.
Okay.
Their defense was pretty good. Their turnovers were good. Their offense was really good in that conference, too. But he was 53-1 in that conference, and he had one of the best defenses there. They get after it. They're tough. But I don't think he had the personnel he wanted this year. And if you actually look at their season, Oklahoma State started 10-2 in the non-conference. Then they lost their next 6 games. And he basically scrapped their defense, which is a full-court pressure defense. And he made an adjustment, which Illini fans know John Gross really struggled to do in his time here. And he basically said, let's go pack line defense. And all of a sudden they won 10 of their next 11 games because it wasn't great defense, but it was a lot better than what they did. So that's what I like to see. A coach who has a system, but also is willing to adjust to his talent, to his personnel. And he's obviously going to have to do that here in the early going. So obviously his strength is offense, but from people I talked to, he's a good defensive coach. He just didn't really have the talent this year. And even when he didn't have the personnel this year to play that kind of style of defense that he wants in his first year at Oklahoma State. But when he didn't have it, he adjusted. He made changes, which John Gross didn't do in his time here.
So here's the other concern. 1 year at Oklahoma State. Now, I would probably leave too if my salary was tripled. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm not going to, you know, blame him for that. But it does kind of.
Not me. I'd never leave WGN. If somebody wanted to triple my salary.
Triple your salary? You're not leaving?
I'd never leave.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe that
either. I don't believe you.
You guys are smart.
But, okay, what happens if the Kansas State job opens up a year from now? Guy played at Kansas State, coached at Kansas State. That would be kind of also somewhat hilarious if Bruce Weber got fired and he was replaced by the Illinois coach. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think it's at least a fair question for a guy who only stayed at a job for 1 year. What happens if the job at his alma mater opens up?
It's a fair question. I think Illinois obviously is the better job.
I agree. Yeah.
But also, you got to trust your AD to get the job done in that situation, right? I mean, he was just paid $18 million over, you know, 6 years or maybe even a little bit more than that. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll find out what his buyout is. If I'm an AD, I'd hopefully that buyout would be sizable after he just left for 1 year because you don't want somebody to do the same thing.
Yep.
I think Josh Whitman's the real deal, guys. And, he was able to get Lovie Smith. I know that's got to play out. We'll see if that works out. But that automatically changed everything for Illinois football and how it's perceived and recruits and, you know, nationally. But I think Josh Whitman will make sure that he doesn't go away. He's operating like this is a big-time Big Ten program. I mean, Lovie Smith's staff makes as much money combined than, you know, even it's up there with Michigan and Ohio State. I think this basketball staff is going to be paid as much as basically almost most staffs in the Big Ten. I think he's going to make that commitment if Underwood does his job. Plus, I'd rather have a guy who's wanted by other programs than Bruce Weber, who really wasn't. You know, that's why they hired Bruce Weber. They didn't want him to leave like Bill Self did. They didn't want that coach to leave like Bill Self did. And then you kind of settle a little bit. So if Brad Underwood is wanted by other programs, in the end, I think that's a good thing. And you just got to trust your AD. And I think Josh Whitman has shown that he's going to make the investment to keep those guys.
With the Illini signing class of 2017 ranked number one, and then in the Big Ten, 11 nationally, what moving forward happens with these recruits and these guys that were brought in by Gross?
Yeah, the main question is about Jeremiah Tillman, the five-star prospect out of East St. Louis. And Jamal Walker's a big part of that, the current interim coach he recruited. Jeremiah Tillman, his family loves him. If they keep Jamal Walker, I would imagine Jeremiah Tillman stays. And Josh Whitman has talked about how he wants that to happen. Of course, that's up to Brad Underwood. But from everything I've heard, Underwood wants to keep him. Why wouldn't you? If he can keep a five-star center there. Also, Mark Smith out of Edwardsville is likely going to be Mr. Basketball. He's had a huge senior season. He's the top uncommitted prospect in the state and one of the top uncommitted guys in the country. He's just a combo guard who can fill it up. Northwestern wants him. Indiana wanted him before Tom Crean got fired. So at Kansas State, Bruce Weber wants him. And Illinois is doing a really good job there, and Jamal Walker would help there. Trent Frazier, a top 100 point guard out of Florida, he reaffirmed his commitment. He's going to stay on, and I don't know why he wouldn't. He just saw what Juwan Evans did in this system under Underwood. Javon Pickett is likely to stay out of Belleville. And then Demonte Williams out of Peoria, Frank Williams' son. I think he doesn't like the Mark Smith attention very much right now, but he sat out last year with his ACL tear. And most people I've talked to think Illinois is good there, but we'll have to watch that going forward. But the key is really, for me, Jeremiah Tillman and Mark Smith, because if you can keep Tillman and bring in Mark Smith along with Trent Frazier, this isn't going to be a rebuild for Brad Underwood. He's going to have some talent. I don't know how good they'll be next year, but he's going to have some talent to work with Jalen Comer-Lanz, Michael Finke, Laron Black. That's a good junior class. Tajon Lucas, Kipper Nichols, pretty good sophomores as well. So it's not like he's got a full rebuild here if he's able to handle or keep those guys on his recruiting class.
Well, if he can keep it all together, yeah, you're right. I mean, it'll be pretty interesting to watch them with. I think seems like a pretty good coach when you look what he's done the last 4 years at two different stops. So, Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at JWernerScout, Illinois, Inquirer.com, and you can hear him on ESPN Radio down in Champaign. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's Jeremy Werner. We'll take a quick timeout and come right back here on The Beat, 720 WGM. I don't think it's fair that we have to do those reads every Sunday. Because then I just sit here and I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too.
What about just too much Peyton promotion?
That's always a bad thing.
I mean, I think it's a good thing, but I just, you know, for me and Adam, we just get jealous that we're not in the family.
Hashtag Peyton.
There's a Peyton coffee that you could try, too, as well.
Is that right?
It's cold outside.
I need some coffee.
Do you do an ice blend?
We can do whatever you need, man. You're Carm. You're the Carm. We would love for you to be underneath Peyton and Peyton. We will we'll help your brand go to the next level.
Hold on a second.
Nathan Taphorn is actually joining us as an intern.
you're bringing in Nate?
Yeah, we're bringing him in.
Well, after the Kemper Lesnick thing goes through because he followed your advice and goes to Europe for 4 years, then he's going to come back and intern for Peyton Coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything better in the morning than when you check Twitter and the first thing you see is your Jared Peyton tweet of the day?
Rise and grind.
Rise and grind, brewed by Peyton Coffee.
Or if you see an Adam Hogue tweet about the Bears, that's like my next best thing.
No. Here's the last one. Rise and grind, everyone. You get out what you put in with a little muscle.
That's it, man.
Brewed by Peyton Coffee. Why can't we be this creative, Adam?
Well,
why is
Adam
JP?
Is. I just don't know if you are.
I am not.
I don't think Adam is.
I'm not. No. No, I'm not.
I mean, Hogue doesn't have his own coffee.
I don't have my own coffee.
He's got Hogue Solutions, so that's
he's
Hogue
got Hogue Solutions. We haven't gotten to that yet.
630 wondering if Brad Underwood will coach tomorrow night because Illinois has a game tomorrow night. They're in the NIT. And the question is, has a D1 coach ever had his first game be in a tournament? Well, assistant being promoted, yes. Like, the assistant that's now coaching Illinois. But no, Brad Underwood will not coach tomorrow night. You know, they're going to let the assistant staff.
Jamal Walker's coaching. He's the interim coach.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
And Barb says, JP, Adam, I'm glad you're back with Carm. She enjoys listening to us, but not you, Carm.
Well, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I love you, Barb. I don't think that's what she meant.
I don't either. I think I twisted it. But that's why she likes listening
Barb.
To me.
Thanks, Barb. Hey, we got news coming up. And then the great voice of the Cats, who unfortunately, from a Northwestern standpoint, his voice has been silenced until next football season, but it's coming back around soon enough here.
He's probably going to be on the air tomorrow morning.
Well, yeah. I said from a Northwestern standpoint. Okay. I know he's going to be on the
Steve. I thought you were silencing Dave Ennett for like 7 months.
I would never, ever.
Like, I don't think you have that power.
Ever
I don't know
do
if
that.
You have that power.
He'll be on the Steve Cochran show, leading the Steve Cochran show tomorrow. But his cat voice has been silenced for a little bit here. Get it back soon enough, though.
It's like a spring practice next week that I think's on the air.
That's probably true. 720 WGN.
The second free throw. No good. Benson the rebound. 2 seconds to go. That will do it. Well, the dream ends here in Salt Lake City, but not without a fight from the Northwestern Wildcats. Their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament produces one unforgettable victory. And quite frankly, one unforgettable loss to the number one seed.
.720 WGN. That is how it ended up yesterday, with Northwestern no longer in the NCAA tournament after the round of 32. Dave Ennett, the voice of the Wildcats, joining us now on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. He's Jared Payton. Mr. Cat, I don't feel like that is the clip that I wanted to hear right now. I'm sure you didn't want to hear it either, but it was just an amazing run. It was an amazing season, a season that a lot of people perhaps thought would never happen. And now a day later, Dave, how are you feeling? And, you know, I guess I'm sure you think like everybody else, we would have liked to have at least seen what would have happened if the goaltending was called, and let's play it from there.
Oh, am I allowed to speak? I heard I was being silenced.
Yes! See, I said your Wildcat voice was...
I know.
It's a rough crowd.
I understand what you were saying. I mean, look, everyone would love to know how it would have ended. And all you can ask, I mean, when I saw the play, I obviously, with the naked eye, I wasn't sure that Collins' hand was through the cylinder, but you know, it sure looked that way. I mean, you see enough of these plays, you kind of get used to seeing how it's supposed to look. And then right in my line of vision was Chris Collins. And Joey and I both had the same reaction when we saw it. Now, that said, we were a little further away, by the way, than the officials. But all of that said, you had the feeling in the building at that moment. And I think from about, I don't know, the final really started around, I think, the 15-minute mark is where you really started to feel it. I think that there would have been a great chance if it's a one-possession game. And then this was Joey's point when we began the broadcast yesterday. He made the point that if you're the number one seed, you feel the pressure if it's a one-possession game late. And that's where all this pressure of never having gotten to the Final Four with 19 straight NCAA tournament appearances for Gonzaga, that's where they would have been feeling it. And so you'd like to have seen how it would have worked out. Would it have guaranteed them a victory? Hardly. But I think it would have really made things even a little more interesting over the final, whatever, 3, 4, or 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Dave, we had Nathan Taphorn on earlier, and you're just hearing it from a player who was out there.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum swing. He was talking about how after the Vic Law dunk, the entire building, except for the Gonzaga fans there, were rooting for the Cats, and the place was going crazy. And so, look, you're playing a really good team, and I agree with what Joey said about the pressure. The thing is like they don't need any help. You know what I mean? Like if Gonzaga comes down and hits an incredible three and maybe gets a foul call on it and it's a 4-point play, like then you give them credit because they dug themselves out of it. They don't need help from the refs on something that was so blatant to kind of stop all that momentum that was going in Northwestern's favor. So, and look, we don't know what's going to happen over the last 5 minutes, but to have such a great season kind of end that way, it's just kind of tough.
Yeah, it is tough, and I can totally understand why Chris reacted the way he did. I've seen some people take shots at his getting a technical in that situation. I'm sure he didn't want a technical, but he had to stand up for his team at that moment. And I think that if you're in his position, you do the same thing. I mean, look, the other thing people forgot, I think, a little bit about last year, the way the season ended for Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament against Michigan, when they had to win, and obviously there was a little different scenario there where not quite as much at stake, but they were trying to get to the NIT, and they're in overtime against Michigan, and there was a missed traveling call, and Michigan ends up taking the lead and winning by 2 in overtime, and that ended Northwestern's season. So to have that happen 2 years in a row, you know, it's to have a missed call loom very large in your final game, I think it's kind of tough to take. And then for the NCAA to come out with their statement right while he's sitting at the podium after the game to fulfill his responsibilities with the media, it just kind of, it's like, hey, coach, you haven't suffered enough today. Here's a little more. We're going to take some salt here and rub it in that open wound.
Yeah, Dave, that's one of those moments where you feel for people, and, you know, you win some, you lose some. But moving forward, as you start to look ahead, it's got to feel nice for you to be so entwined into the program to now have this feeling that it's not about just getting there in, you know, 78 years, but now what's going to be expected of this program moving forward, that getting to the big dance is going to be expected.
Well, which is great, JP. And, you know, it's what Chris Collins said last Sunday, that this was not the end game. Getting their name called on Selection Sunday was great, but this wasn't what they're just in it for, just to hear their name called once or just to go to the tournament and say, well, that was fun. We finally got to do that. Not only did they go, but they won a game against a good Vanderbilt team. And then they took the number one seed right down to the wire. But beyond that, they want to make this the norm, not the exception for Northwestern. And I think that if you look at this team down the road, you look at what they have coming back next year, you can even take a couple years down the road, they're going to be really good. I think this team has a chance to be even better next year. So, you know, it's one of those situations where it's really painful and frustrating for them right now because they were able to get so close. And granted, if they don't have as poor a first half as they had, then maybe we're not even talking about that call in the second half. But this is their history. This was their history yesterday, and I think they've got a great chance to kind of rewrite it again next year. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, more is going to be expected, but I think Chris expects more, and that's a good thing.
Dave Ennett on with us here on The Beats. I want to ask you on a personal level, what was it like to kind of have these last 2 weeks of an extended stay in the Big Ten tournament, which I don't think you really had been through before, at least not in a long time, and then to go to the NCAA tournament and kind of have these 2 weekends where you're on the road with really, really important basketball games?
Well, Adam, Northwestern never got to Saturday of the Big Ten tournament before, not in Chicago, not in Indianapolis, and the tournament's been around since, what, 1998, so that's a long time. So I thought that was to get the big win over Maryland in Washington in front of a very partisan crowd. It was basically a Maryland home game with 17,000-18,000 Maryland fans there. To win that game, I thought was a tremendous statement. I mean, the way they beat Rutgers the night before, I thought was really impressive, because Rutgers, it was a tough out this year in the Big Ten, even though they only won 2 games in conference play. They were a tough team to beat. And or 2 or 3, I think, at the end. You know, they ended the season with a win over Illinois, and they played Northwestern tough in Evanston. And I think to beat them the way they did was impressive. To beat Maryland there was, I think, a really big shot in the arm. And then to get their name called on Selection Sunday was a tremendous moment for them. To me, the things I'm going to remember really was the amazing support they got out in Salt Lake City. I mean, I'll be honest with you. They didn't have that many fans in Washington. And I think it might have been because the tournament wasn't in Chicago or Indy, but also because I think a lot of fans were saving up. They were going to wait and go to that NCAA tournament game wherever it might be played. So knowing you'd have to be scrambling for a last-second airfare, I think people were saving their pennies a little bit. And the crowd was absolutely off the charts. And everybody was talking about it out there, not just Northwestern, but all the other teams were really, I think, a little surprised to see the turnout that Northwestern got in Salt Lake City. And wherever you went around town, you saw these big pockets of fans in purple. So that, to me, is something kind of hearkening back to 95 with the football team out in Pasadena. It was sort of reminiscent of that. And so I think I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember the reception that they got when they came onto the floor for the first time on Thursday for their first ever NCAA tournament game. And just the emotion when they won that game against Vanderbilt, especially the way they won.
Dave Ennett, the voice of the Cats, with us here, 720 WGN. I was just going to ask you about that, Dave. So let me just follow up on the – you get off the bus, and I'm assuming you were at the hotel in this scene where they're all coming off the bus, the band's playing – it's like they're the Beatles going to their room. I mean, you're talking about the fan support. Like, listen, in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, Northwestern's always had support, but they've never had the loudest fans. And I always envisioned it like, hey, man, if they go to the tournament, because they'll be the underdog, you can have the whole crowd rally around them. It's exactly what happened.
Well, I always wondered what it would be like, Mark. And I think we had a night in Washington. I think it was the night of the Rutgers win, where I took the team bus back to the hotel, and all of the friends and families, parents of the players, had all formed like a welcoming, they'd sort of gathered around the entrance to the hotel and sort of formed a welcoming tunnel for the players to come through as they came back. They all had their camera phones out, and they're all cheering and applauding as everybody walked in. I thought that was really a cool moment, because it's not something that you see all the time. We've seen it, Adam, you travel with us for football. You do see it when they get to the stadium for football games on the road. There's always a lot of the fans gathering around and welcoming them. But this was a little bit different. But I'd never seen that. I walked back to the hotel on Thursday afternoon. I was so beyond, I mean, it was great all week in Salt Lake. So I said, it's about a, I don't know, 15-minute walk from the arena. So I decided I'm going to walk back. And as the team hadn't left the arena yet. And when I get to the hotel, I see the band out there. And then I see all of these fans. I see players' parents. I see some of the alums. And everybody is just waiting for the players to get back. And another bus pulled up, which I think had either a few staff members or it even had the managers for the team. They're bringing them back. And so The bus pulls up, everybody gathers around it, and then there are no players on the bus. It was like this big, the air coming out of the balloon, right? I mean, it was like, that's not exactly what they were looking for right then. But yeah, it was a great reception, and I think it just kind of was like that all week. I think wherever they went, wherever you went in Salt Lake City, you saw the fans. I thought Northwestern, again, and this goes back to last Sunday, I thought they did a really nice job with Selection Sunday, never having done it before. But I thought that they just kind of choreographing the whole NCAA tournament experience. I think Nate Taphorn mentioned this, that the athletic department chartered a plane to bring out staff members and some families and whatnot on Thursday. Just for the day, to come out for the game. And they flew out in the morning. They flew home in the evening. Over 100 people just for that. And then there were others who came back yesterday, like Pat Fitzgerald, who was, I think, emerged this week as the basketball team's number one cheerleader, without question. He flew back with us last night from Salt Lake City. But you talk about, I mean, maybe once in a while you see a football coach jump on and support a basketball team that way. I saw Jim Harbaugh in Washington cheer on Michigan at the Big Ten tournament, but ordinarily, I think that was a little unusual. And for Fitz to go out of his way and make that trip to Salt Lake City twice to cheer on this team, I think speaks a lot about how he feels about Chris Collins and how he feels about the university.
He was excited about it, too. I saw him at Pro Day on Tuesday, and he was ready to go. I wanted CBS to show him more during the game. I mean, I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but, like, 100 ISO shots on her? Like, let's spread it out. There's plenty of Northwestern people there.
There were a lot of people, and a lot of the better-known alums showed up, and that's a cool thing. And they had big pep rallies before both the games out there that were very well attended. And Fitz was there for both of them, kind of leading the cheers, which was really cool.
I loved the video of Chris is talking to the locker room, and he's like, you know, we're playing a great team or something like that. And you just hear this voice in the background, and you're a great team too. And it's like, yes, we are. It's Fitz who just like popped his head in the locker room, and then the players all go nuts because they love 51. That helped.
Cool video.
It's good having the basketball and the football in sync.
Well, you know, when they wanted Ohio State, he was there, and he was the first one onto the floor to give Chris Collins a big bear hug after they beat the Buckeyes in Columbus for the first time in 40 some years. So yeah, that's pretty cool to get from your football coach.
Yeah, he screams at the officials too. It's phenomenal. I love
that. That might be the best part,
Dave. Appreciate you. Great job all season long, as per always. I'm already ready for whatever the exhibition game is next November, so I know you are as well.
Well, you know, I really do think that this team going into next season should be regarded as one of the teams to beat in the Big Ten. I mean, you look around the conference and you look at who they have coming back, the core of this team, they're losing two very valuable guys, no question, Sanjay Lumpkin and Nathan Taphorn. But they've got a couple of guys who sat out this season who I think are going to be major factors for them next year in Rap Ivanauskas and Aaron Falzone. And, you know, to have these guys back, plus whoever they get in the way of a transfer or another recruit, I mean, I don't know. But it's just bringing back Bryant McIntosh for a senior year. This group, Scotty Lindsey, Vic Law, Gavin Skelly, and then the younger players, Derek Pardon, and I thought the two freshmen really showed signs this year that they're going to be very good players for a long time, Benson and Brown. So it's pretty exciting.
If Rap Ivanauskas is half the player that he is the cheerleader, that guy's going to be incredible. He was phenomenal all season long on the corner of the bench.
With their bench, I think their bench won the Big Ten this year. I mean, the guys who rarely played or didn't play, but they were tremendous in terms of supporting that team.
They were, and it matters, and it speaks to how unified those guys were. Dave, we're going to go. We got to go. Dan Long's yelling at us, so thank you.
Okay, tell Dan he can call me. See ya.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Bennett, the voice of the Wildcats, who will be on the Steve Cochran show tomorrow. Not silenced, but the Wildcat voice is silenced until the fall. All right, we got to go. What do you got over there here, Si?
Well, when we come back, we have to go behind the scenes of what just happened during that interview. Come across on the air because I was like lying on the floor laughing at one point.
It wasn't great.
And it's nothing that Dave did. It was everything that Mark Harmon did.
It was a little bit rough. 720 WGN. So, okay. Dave Bennett's on the air. I was trying to send a text. It was important. And all of a sudden, my phone just started rocking the Pandora, and I'm hitting it, and I got the new iPhone. I don't know how to use the iPhone.
Wait, but how does the Pandora even come on?
Let me just tell you.
I don't know.
Real quick.
I think it's possessed.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Anytime you have that problem, double tap on the button, and it will bring everything up so then you can close it. It will
I did that.
No, you didn't.
You go,
you did
boom,
not.
Boom. Just close that.
Close it out.
So I hit double tap. That's okay.
And then you swipe up and it's gone. But
you got really nervous. Your face was super nervous. Like, I don't know what to do. And anytime I see you back away from the mic, something's wrong.
Well, the best part is the first thing you should have done was turn off your mic, which you didn't do.
He waited 15 seconds and then threw his hands up in the air.
And then, couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So what does he do? He runs to the door and chucked his phone out of the studio.
Dude.
And I lost it. I was lying. I was like out of my seat laughing. You okay, just chucked his on. Phone so out then, of the studio.
So that's one of the best parts. Then the next best part is I'm sitting here, and if anybody watches in the live stream, I never wear headphones unless we have a guest on. So I have them halfway on, and I hear, as Dave Ennett is talking, that there's music playing. And I'm thinking, is Dan Long have music playing back there in the producer's room? And then I look at Hogue, and Hogue's looking at me, and I go, no, that's Carm's phone. And your phone was still blaring once you opened the door.
Outside the studio, there's a soundproof studio. You could still hear your phone lying in the hallway after you chucked it.
I didn't throw it far enough, apparently, but I threw it, like, pretty far. I mean, it was down by the bathroom. No. I landed it properly.
I just love the idea of...
Hold on.
You couldn't shut your phone off.
I'm turning on Pandora right now.
So you just threw it out of the studio.
Goodness gracious.
So that was what was going on.
Double tap.
Double tap the thing. Now it's still going.
Now close it out.
Now swipe up.
No, see, it doesn't want to do it. This is what's going on. I can't get it to do it. I double tap. Now I'm back to it. Now I'm hitting that. And then finally, I hit... It won't here. Hold on. Go ahead. You want me? Having a heart attack. We need a break, but go ahead.
I know. We need a break.
It you didn't do break. What you just did.
You need a break.
I literally just did it right away.
You need
did.
A break.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
510, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. Jared Payton's off to TV. Blackhawk hockey coming up. Been fun to be with you today. Thanks to Dave Ennett for jumping on, Nathan Taphorn jumping on. And Adam Hogue has a theory, a method, a hope on how to make the NCAA tournament in college basketball even better. I don't want to overstate it, but this could be the next new big thing. Ain't that right?
Oh, I don't know about that. But here's what I'm getting at with college. I love college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I've always...
You hate on the NBA all the time.
Yeah, but the NBA is a better product. I'm not an idiot. I know that.
You know that the basketball players in the NBA are better.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
It's same thing with college football. I love college football. I just love the college feel to the game. The bands, the crowds, the student sections, you know, everything that goes into it. So when March Madness comes around, it's like Christmas, right? But every year, and this happens all season long, it just tends to build up during the tournament when there's so many games on in one day, and you're watching game after game after game after game instead of just a few games a week. The officiating is terrible in like every game. And it's hurting the product. You brought up great points early on in the show about just the amount of whistles and slowing down the game. What bothers me is when a team's best player, okay, maybe commits a real foul in the first 3 minutes, and then 30 seconds later gets called for a ticky-tack foul or something that really wasn't there. Now he's got two fouls, and he's got to go spend the rest of the first half on the bench. So maybe the best player, your best talent in the entire game, is now sitting out half the game. How is that a good thing? Now, if it's because he went out and committed two stupid fouls, then he deserves to be sitting down. But too many times as I watch these games, whether it's November, December, or March Madness, it's a ticky-tack foul, or it's something that, or it's just a bad call. It's a bad charge, block call, or whatever, and a guy's got to sit out the rest of the half. Or, like yesterday in the Wisconsin game, Bronson Koenig sat out a huge part of the second half. And at least two of those calls were borderline at best. And now Wisconsin's best player's out. And this isn't just about Wisconsin. It's just the example I'm using from yesterday. There were bad calls at the end of the first half today in the Michigan game. So my solution, go to six fouls, like the NBA.
I got no problem with going to six. Let's go to six. I'm with you.
It's not because the players are fouling too much. It's because the officials can't keep up with it. The players are getting faster, they're getting better, they're getting more athletic, and the officials are not. Well, and they're calling fouls that shouldn't be called. And then if you go to six fouls, at least a guy can play with two in the first half, right?
Well also, if you're going to call the game super tight, to your original point, who wants to watch a game where the best player is sitting on the bench for 15 minutes and a half because in the first half because you're afraid that he's going to pick up his third. You just don't want that. And the other side of it is that the officials, as great as some of them are, they're not, you know, professional to the level of an NBA referee. So they are going to make more mistakes. And there are going to be games where, like yesterday with Northwestern, where Scotty Lindsey's getting called for ticky-tack fouls, and it's having a huge impact on an NCAA tournament game. I mean, if I'm running the sport, I want the officials to make a very minimal to no impact. It's seen, not heard, or whatever heard. I don't know exactly what would be the phrasing there, but like, hey man, I don't want to notice you. Just
yeah.
Keep the game in order, but in general, let the game happen.
And it's unfortunate. Like my argument here is basically go to six fouls because one of the fouls is going to be a bad call. Like that's basically what I'm arguing here. But it's just the reality of the situation, and I don't want to see the product hurt by those bad calls. It's already hurt to a certain extent because you're just stopping the game and slowing everything down. But when it starts having a negative impact on a team in their biggest game of the season, best player sitting on the bench because of a bad call, that's bad. It's not good. To me, you go to six fouls. It's not going to lead to more fouls because there's still the same amount of time in the game. You know, if guy fouls out with five, the guy who comes in could very well just commit a foul too. It doesn't, you know, prevent fouls from happening. That comes down to what's being called and the amount of time is in the game. It's too bad. And then you have like the goaltending call that wasn't called yesterday in Northwestern. I don't see how that could not be called. Like, have you ever seen that missed before? We were talking about this as I was watching this game yesterday. I've seen that happen. I've seen a goaltend with a hand through the rim. I'm not sure I've ever seen it missed before.
I mean, there's been, even yesterday on the, where it was out of bounds off of Gonzaga, they looked at it for 7 hours at the table. It's like,
and hey, it was not. It was clear.
It was clear. I mean, I can't recall any specific incident where they missed sticking the hand through the roof, through the rim. I feel like it's had to have happened before, but maybe it hasn't. I don't know. It was certainly hasn't happened to Northwestern before in the NCAA tournament at the biggest moment of the game. So that it was just super disappointing. You know, Gonzaga yesterday, as far as shooting free throws, and now this sounds like sour grapes, and partly it is, but they shot 36 free throws to Northwestern's 13. 36-13. I mean, and I thought that some of the calls yesterday were just real, real, real nitpicky. And it's like, and you're also, I mean, having Scotty Lindsey off the court for as much as they did, it hurt Northwestern. 26 fouls in the game for the Cats, 26, and Lindsey ended up playing 28 minutes. He normally would play at 8 minutes more, somewhere in the 35, 36, 37 minutes.
Couple other things. Okay, you got these refs, and look, they got to make a living, so I get it. But like Gene Steratore, who's actually one of the better officials, in the month of November and December, is doing NFL games on Sunday and then traveling all over the country during the week doing NCAA games. And I think it works both ways. I think it's hurting the NFL product, and I think it's hurting the college product. Like, this applies probably more to the NFL than even more than college, but, like, you got to make officials full-time.
What a great gig.
Like, make it a full-time job somehow. I mean, because these guys are not, and then they all have side jobs or businesses and things like this, and they all got to make a living to do that. So I'm not blaming them for that. But if you want the product on the court or on the field in the NFL to be better, you got to go to full-time officials. You just got to invest in it. It's too important part of the game not to invest a $1 billion industry on.
It's tough. It's tough, though, right? I mean, you're talking about a college basketball season in the last 6 months. They're on the court, call it 3-4 days a week. So you're talking about, so call it 15 days a month, right?
But I'm saying they could spend their other 2 days working on watching game film. Maybe if they knew these players better.
That'd be the greatest gig ever.
Because sometimes you just get a matchup where it looks like one team is, like, way bigger, way more athletic, and they're doing things that's not really, smaller teams committing fouls that aren't really fouls.
I want officially if that happened. I'd like officially, no pun intended there. I've always wanted to be a referee.
Yeah.
Just because you get to be on the court with, like, if you're an NBA referee, I'm calling a foul on LeBron James. You kidding me? How awesome is that?
It's hard, by the way.
I'm sure it is.
I hate that this is more me conceding to what the refs are than me bashing them.
I get it.
It's trying to find solutions to work around what the problem is. And also, just another quick thing that bothers me, when they like don't call fouls in the first half and then they get together at halftime and they go, you know, we need to call more fouls.
Well, that
and then like there's 17 whistles in the first 3 minutes of the second half.
That happened in the Purdue game. They were trying to make something right with a free throw where they didn't signal that it was a 1-on-1 properly or nobody heard him. It's a 1-on-1, ball hits the rim, ends up on the ground, Northwestern grabs it. Nobody knew it was a 1-on-1. Cats had the basketball, but so they huddle up like, eh, yeah, we didn't say anything, so it's a jump ball, and alternating possession right now goes to Purdue, so they just gave Purdue the basketball. And it was so bad, and the arena's going so crazy that the next three calls were all makeup calls. It's like...
Yeah, the only thing worse than a bad call is a makeup call.
Right, so...
I say that all the time. That just means you made two bad calls.
Let's take a quick timeout. Get you ready for Blackhawks hockey coming up. The Hawks and the Avalanche at the United Center, 720 WGN. Want to clarify to my referee friends texting me, Adam Hogue is not trying to disrespect referees. He's just trying to support referees.
I'm really trying to protect them.
He's trying to protect referees.
I'm trying to build in an extra foul to compensate for the missed calls.
He's trying to take...
I just don't want it to affect the game in a negative way.
Right. He's trying to make the world a better place. That's what you're trying
to
do.
And I would think that they would love to become full-time, right?
I don't think you probably have...
a great gig, like you said.
Yes. I'd love to go full-time referee, work 15 days out of the month, 6 months out of the year, and then just sit there and say, yeah, I watched the game film. It was great. I was really watching the Wisconsin Badgers. By the way, congratulations to your Badgers beating the defending champion Villanova Wildcats into the Sweet 16.
How big of an upset is it that it's 5:23 and that's like the first time we brought that up?
We were going to do it earlier, but it didn't happen. So congrats to the Badgers. And all I heard all year long from the experts out there, the Big Ten sucks, the Big Ten sucks, the Big Ten sucks. The Big Ten's showing itself pretty good.
They got three teams already in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Michigan State's down 5 at halftime to Kansas, so they're still in that game.
And Northwestern was right there.
They held their own.
They held their own with the one seed. Minnesota was overseeded. That was ridiculous. And they lost. Okay.
Another team that's going to be good next year, by the way.
And Maryland's young.
Another team that's going to be good. That Kevin Herter dude, you know what I'm talking about?
The guy that shoots from 70,000 feet? Yeah.
He's a freshman. He's going to... Oh, the Big Ten's going to be awesome. Can we just lace it up right now and go next year?
I love that you love it to that much level. You know what's also been awesome has been the Chicago Blackhawks, who are just pulling away now from the Minnesota Wild.
Speaking of that, Wild down 4-0 right now in Winnipeg.
So
can build a little bit of a cushion here.
Hawks would be 7 points up at the end of the night if they can beat the Avalanche, which they should. Colorado, one of the worst teams in the league. And listen, you're talking about a Blackhawks team that, I don't know, I mean, four lines deep, right?
You've kind of starting to have that feeling again, right?
You're going to have the best record in the Western Conference going into the playoffs. You're going to have home ice. And you're winning. They're winning a lot of close games, too. So, Northwestern's done, but we do have a little Blackhawk hockey coming here. And I don't want to overstate it here. We got 11 games left to go in the regular season, but there's no reason not to be confident here, right?
And now that we've had a few years of this, you know, NHL playoff format, and I wonder what the guys in the booth would think. I know they're probably listening right now. But, you know, originally I liked it because you got these cool first-round matchups against rivals. But, you know, watching it the last few years, it really beats you up. Like, think about that series against the Blues. The point I'm getting at is I think there's a huge benefit the Hawks can secure the one seed. You know, you might have to travel farther if you're going up against one of the West Coast teams. But who cares? I mean, it could be... Not that it's an easy series. The great thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs is that every series is tough and physical, and it's the hardest trophy to win because of it. But, you know, I think there's a big benefit to not having to go through a tough seven-game battle against the Blues. if you can get out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I also think it's important that the regular fan can actually enjoy what the playoff structure is or figure it out, comprehend. Yeah,
everyone's kind of confused about it still.
It's very confusing.
I mean, I get it, but I think we understand it. But the average guy is like, wait, what? How does this work? Why can't it just be 1 versus 8?
Right.
2 versus 7.
Well, what you need to know, out of the last 36 possible points the Blackhawks could get, they've gotten 32 of them. And they're doing it right now without Artem Anisimov. They're doing it without Marian Hossa. They're getting game winners from Ryan Hartman, who has a great career in front of him. But they're getting goals from John Hayden, who they just literally picked up. And they've won, by the way, 23 games on the road, which matches a franchise record. So they're home tonight. But yeah, this is a team that's, I don't think a lot of people actually, I mean, really predicted the Blackhawks to be right where they're at right now.
No.
So,
hey, thanks to Nathan Taphorn, Dave Ennett, Jeremy Werner. Fun show today.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. And Adam, congratulations on your Badgers making it to the Sweet 16.
I'm going to be in Arizona this week. Spring training, NFL owners meetings.
And we're going to get some baseball out of it too. Judd Surratt and is coming right up with your pregame. John and Troy with the call at 6, 720 WGN.